Hey, it is so good to be back up here, okay? For the last couple of weeks, I've been out there where you are. I've been out there where you are, being able to sit back and fill up a bit and listen to Pastor Stan preach. He is an incredible communicator and a teacher, and that makes me smile. I'm glad that our succession plan includes me preaching once in a while over these next few months until my retirement from the pastorate. This just feels good. I mean, it's awesome to be out there, okay, and soaking up, but when you've been doing this for 36 years and I've been with you for 30, it's just awesome to be back up here. So let me get through this adrenaline right now that I got when I look out with you all and I see our guests here today. I see our families. I see families that I've known for years coming back and joining together. There is an incredible joy at being back up here in this spot. Sarah and I have had a few cruddy weeks on the personal side. We had a brother-in-law who was gravely ill in Ohio, and Bill died this past Thursday, succumbing to an aggressive and ugly illness. Hey, if you would pray for Rachel, she's Sarah's younger sister, my youngest sister in love. If you would pray for Rachel, that would be a real blessing as she lost her husband. That'd be a real blessing. So, the past 2 weeks when I've been out there with you in those chairs, we've been in a series, Leadership Succession. And Stan's shared with us, the successful succession stories of Moses to Joshua and Elijah to Elisha. And Stan and I, we hope to emulate the best of those examples and see Venture go through this process in a very healthy way. Now, I experienced a failed baton pass personally, okay? This baton pass that we're in the middle of right now and passing it from me to Stan, well, I experienced a failed baton pass personally. I learned it in junior high. Now, I know you think that junior high, that's a long time ago, Mark, and it was, but I experienced a failed baton pass. And I was the one who the baton was being passed to, okay? And I have no clue who messed it up, but I was running a relay in the state track meets. I mean, I was a stud. It was awesome. Junior high, state track meet. That's just funny. Just think about it. But you might be in junior high. It's awesome, okay? I know that. Well, the gun goes off. And the runner passing the baton to me comes down the straightaway. I begin my launch. I reach back to receive a smooth baton pass, and it fell to the track. Oh, there is nothing worse than the sound of that clank when that baton, aluminum, light as a feather, should be so easy to pass from one person to another, when it falls to the surface of the track, clank. Ugh. See, I still remember it. I've been on the receiving end of a disastrous baton pass. We're not going to let that happen here. Now, some of you have giggled when you've talked about me being Moses and Stan being Joshua, okay? I've heard the cracks. At first, I was like, no, I'm not Moses, I'm Joshua. I mean, that just didn't sit well the very first time I heard that, that we're moving from Moses to Joshua. No! But that was about the erroneous thought that Joshua got the gold mine and Moses got the shaft. Okay? Erroneous thought. I know it reads kind of that way, but unless you see something. See, 2 weeks ago, Stan was talking about Joshua getting to experience the promised land. But Moses died and he didn't. But then Stan said something that I think might even have been just an ad lib. And he said that Moses actually got to experience the promised land. For him, it was heaven. See, Moses died, and then Joshua got to run with the baton. But don't feel sorry for Moses. Don't feel sorry for him after he led the people those many years right to the edge of the promised land and then didn't get to experience it himself. No, don't feel sorry for him. He got his promise, okay? He got his promised land. It may read like a heartbreaking succession. But Moses was okay. I promise. He wasn't disappointed. Catch this. More than 1,500 years later, Jesus goes up on a mountain and he takes a few of his closest disciples, and here's what we read. Then they saw Elijah and Moses appear, and they began talking with Jesus. This was on the mountain of transfiguration. There was an incredible thing that happened. But I want you to catch is, who was it that Jesus was talking to? He was talking to Moses. Moses was taken up to heaven. Oh my goodness. If I'm Moses in these succession stories, okay? Oh gosh. If I'm Moses in these stories of healthy succession, then I think I'll be okay. Now, I'm not dying. Well, I mean, you know what I mean. Okay, none of us know that. But I'm going to take my ministry to the front lines, to where the majority of you have been living out your ministry your entire career, into the secular context, into the marketplace, because I truly believe that God has another significant work for me to do. Now, I don't know what that is yet. I'm still discovering what God is up to. I'm still in that process of figuring out what my next significant is or what my next promised land is. Boy, you can know and be confident in that both Joshua and Moses had an incredible future. And that will be the same even for me as God leads me to my next significance. Now, our church and my family, we began this journey together 30 years ago, okay? I was reminded by one of our elders who was 9 years old back then. I was reminded that it was on Mother's Day that a group of people from Woodland Springs, who we are and were, came to visit this little town in Western Illinois to listen to me preach for the first time, okay? These were families again. It was Mother's Day. I would kill anybody who left the church to go somewhere else on Mother's Day to see another preacher. It just didn't make any sense. But there were like, I don't know, 6, 8, 10 families who on Mother's Day left Hamilton County, Indianapolis area, drove all the way over on Mother's Day. Okay, that story is, it itself is a funny story. But the profoundness of understanding that this began with us 30 years ago. Wow. We were in what was back then Woodland Springs. We were in a single-framed church building near 116th Street and Keystone Avenue, what it's called, or it was called then. And this church, it took a chance on a 27-year-old preacher from Illinois. Now, I don't know what the biggest chance was. Was it the 27-year-old or some dude from Illinois? I don't know. Now, I resemble that comment, okay? So, what was then Woodland Springs, then Hazeldale, and now Venture, has had a great ministry. Look at us now. The panoramic of Venture Christian Church and who she is and what she's about. This is a great church. You are a great church. And I'm so thankful to God and to you for this opportunity to lead you all these years. That was either a shout of praise or that was a cry. But this is a new season. And Sarah and I are fervently praying for our next Joshua, Stan Killebrew, to take you to an even greater place. Our text for today takes us in a bit of a different direction than we've been going the last 2 weeks, okay? Up until now, Stan's messages have been about specific men and how they were great examples of leadership succession. But today, it's not about any specific men or women. It's about ministry. Our succession lesson today is not about the succession of men, but the succession of ministry. And it's entitled, From Great to Greater. I hope that title at least intrigues you here today. Let's read our ministry succession story for today. It's found in Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Yes, many of you know it as the Great Commission. But what we find here this morning is the great and greatest ministry succession story in our Bibles and throughout all of history. Here's how it reads. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, while you're going, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And you can be sure of this. I am with you always to the very end of the age." This is the great example of ministry succession. The passing of the baton from a great ministry to an even greater season of ministry. Now, previously, Jesus had sent almost nobody would have thought of this, but he sent this woman to be a preacher for him. Okay, previously, Jesus sent Mary Magdalene to tell these disciples to meet him there in Galilee. He sent her to tell them, meet me in Galilee. And this is important because it was here in Galilee that they first came together. When this all started, and he's telling them to go back to the former place, be reminded of where this all got started and what brought us here, because now it's time to move ahead. Meet me back in Galilee, the place of beginnings, because they were now going to be challenged to a new beginning, to take his ministry baton and run with it. And here they are. Here they are now. And he hands them the keys to his kingdom. And he says, and here's where we get our great to greater in ministry. Pastor Mark, you're saying that Jesus passed his ministry on to his followers, and their ministry was greater than his? Yep. Because he said it. Check it out in John 14, 12. Here are Jesus' words. Jesus said, I'm speaking a profound truth. The one who believes in me will also do the works that I do. And, in fact, will do greater things than these, because I am leaving to go to the Father. It is Jesus who was so clear that he wanted his ministry to always and forever go from great to greater, from great to greater, that something would be able to happen that make it possible for his followers to do even greater work than what he was able to do. Jesus' ministry, it was great. But soon after saying those words, okay, he would no longer be limited by a human body that could only be in one place at one time. He would leave this earth so he could come back as spirit, so he could live in all of us. That's why their ministry and ours can be even greater. He's now living in all of us who believe in him. Wow! And I hope these words you will remember, church. Since God is in us, there's always greater work. Jim Collins, in his book, Good to Great, writes that the enemy of great is good. When things are going good, you begin to rest on your laurels. You begin to cruise. When things are good, we sit back and go, wow. When things are going good, we don't rely on the Lord like we should. When things are going good, we don't pray like we should. When things are going good, that's the enemy of going to the next level of great. And God has put on my heart, and I know this, you are a great church. But he's not through with you yet. Greater days are ahead. Greater things are still to come, venture. So what's in this very familiar passage that we can feed on as we experience this ministry succession? As we experience this baton pass between myself and Stan, what is it that we can feed on to even be reminded of and even be encouraged as we go through this transition? Well, let me give you three things to think about, all righty? Starting in verse number 17. Interesting. This is the verse that immediately precedes that great commission that we read, that great succession story, the great ministry succession story. And this is the verse right before it. And it reads this way in verse number 17. When they saw him, they worshiped him. There's a reason that it's written in that progression. They saw him, then they worshiped him. Because so often in the midst of crisis, not knowing what God's going to do next, we don't see Jesus. We're looking at the crisis and we miss the Christ. We see the crisis, but we miss the Christ in the crisis. When they saw him, it's then that they worshiped him. There's no mistake this time of who he is. He is the resurrected King of Kings, and they worshiped him in the midst of their crisis. Remember, he's about to leave them. He's about to leave them. In the midst of the crisis, they see the risen Christ and they worship. I don't know how you're processing this transition from me to Stan. It's possibly put you in a season of crisis. But in this crisis, look for Jesus and worship him. Because that's the first thing to remember in this transition, his undeniable presence. Wow. Guys, God is very, very aware of where we are in this momentous season. He's the one who's orchestrated it. Transition can seem like a crisis, but when God is in it, it's just the beginning of a new and greater day. You know, I don't know if there's any greater internal crisis for a dad than when he's giving away his daughter, okay? I've told you for many years that the four hardest words for a dad to say are her mother and I. Okay, you know, it's at the beginning of the wedding and the preacher asks the dad, who is it that's giving away this woman to be married to this man? Ugh. Her mother and I. And then he slowly steps out of the picture. And the only way that a dad can do that is if he's confident that this guy is going to love her and lead her as well as he did or better. The only way he can do that is if he's confident that this guy is going to love her and lead her as well or greater than he did. And I know that's the case with our new pastor, Stan Killebrew. And even though there is a crisis of heart, for you maybe, for me possibly, I know the Christ is here. I know the Christ is here. And he's brought the man he wants to lead Venture into her greater days. Make sure you keep seeing his undeniable presence and worship him with your very life. Well, here's the second thing that we need to remember as we go through this leadership succession. We find it in verses 19 through 20. Then yeah, while you're going, here's Jesus, while you're going, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. This is about his unchanging purpose. He tells them, and he tells us, listen, you have an unchanging purpose. Get to it. Wherever Pastor Stan faithfully leads you, wherever he faithfully, or whatever he faithfully leads you to do, your purpose will always be the same. And this ministry will become even greater as you continue to focus on this purpose. You know, it's paraphrased on our bulkhead in the lobby. So when you come into our facility, one of the first things you see on the bulkhead in our lobby, you see our purpose paraphrased there. We exist to help more people get to know Jesus and live like him every day. We've been committed to this purpose for the entire 30 years and more that I've been your senior pastor. It's right there for everybody to see it. It's written on our bulkhead. Let's make sure it remains written on our hearts. And even greater things you will do. And even greater things you will do. I heard a preacher by the name of Clarence Moore say this. He said, good churches become great churches when they walk in their purpose. Good churches become great churches when they walk in their purpose. And then he said, but, great churches become greater churches when their purpose is walking in them. Great churches become greater churches when their purpose is walking in them. And I thought that was pretty good. If your purpose is walking in you, wherever you go, your purpose will manifest itself. You will be a representative of Jesus to love the world wherever you are. You'll even be walked into environments that you're not quite comfortable with because nobody else will go there. And you'll love them like Jesus does. Let his unchanging purpose walk in you. His undeniable presence. His unchanging purpose. And there's a third thing to remember as we experience this succession. It is found in verse number 20. And you can be sure of this. Now, in the King James, I think it says, and lo. In the NIV, it says, and surely. Here's what he's saying. And you can be sure of this. It's Jesus saying this. I am with you always to the very end of the age. I am with you. You can be sure of this. I am with you always to the very end of the age. It's not just one guy, Jesus, doing a profound ministry, but still in one place at one time. Now it's Jesus living in each one of us, and that's why the ministry can continue to get greater and greater. You see, this is about his unfailing promise. When you're about his unchanging purpose, when you're about his unchanging purpose for you, so that people in our world can see his love, this you can be sure of. I'll be with you always, even to the end of the age, Jesus said. This is his unfailing promise. We used to sing a hymn called Standing on the Promises. How many of you in this room know of that hymn, Standing on the Promises? And that's what I want to know today, Venture. Are you going to sit on his unfailing promise, or are you going to stand on it? In the midst of this transition that we're going through right now, are you going to stand on his promises or slip off the premises? Are you going to stand on his promise, I will be with you to the very end of the age? The unfailing promise to be with us every step of the way, that's ours right now. Pastor Stan is going to lead us into even greater ministry as he stands on this unfailing promise. My prayer for Venture is that you will too. Friends, this I know. There is more to come.